Hallelujah. So it was at the end of the last meeting, we were talking about how Bert had seen a vision of Satan's ambassadors or whatever, messengers going out in the darkness to sow discord and to sow trouble among the saints. But on the other side of the coin, you had something to add, that God's messengers, all right? So could you share what you saw then at that time?
People were going up for prayer. And as they were going up, they were petitioning, putting their petitions before the Lord. And I saw there were many angels as they were going up to put their petitions, that the angels were taking those petitions and they were leaving as fast as they were being held up before the Lord. And they were going on a mission to fulfill the petitions before the Lord. All the prayers that were being sent up, the angels were taking them. And they were leaving in haste. They were going as fast as the petitions were going up. And they were on a mission.
Amen. So it isn't just the forces of darkness that are going about doing their dark business, unrighteous wickedness. But God's messengers are also on our side. What we're talking about is war. It was about 2 weeks ago the Lord gave me a word, and the word that I heard is, and there was war in heaven. Amen. And I'm not going to go over that word from the last time again, but just to bring us again into focus. Amen. Is we are living in a time of great spiritual warfare. Okay? And you know, the forces of wickedness, the forces of darkness, these forces are personal, how shall I say it, personal beings. I hate to use the word person, because person implies human beings. But they are beings, with some form of intelligent beings, but they are darkness. Some of them were once human beings. Some of them are fallen angels that fell with Satan when he fell from the realm of heaven. And Satan and his whole host, his whole army, are dedicated to the destruction of God's creation, especially the destruction of people. Because people, human beings, are the crowning thing of God's creation. It's the highest and greatest thing. We are the ones that God has chosen to share the throne of His universe with.
Amen.
Amen? No, none of us is going to become God. Right. Don't ever get that idea. Amen? None of us is going to become a God.
No.
Amen?
No.
But we are going to be with Him.
Amen?
Amen. And it should bring great joy and thanksgiving to our hearts to know the plan that God has for us. And brethren, the trials and the tribulations that we face in life are testing us to see, are we going to hold the course? Are we going to remain steadfast? Are we going to go off some other way? We have to be tested in these things. You cannot be trusted to rule and reign in Christ Jesus. You cannot be trusted to share the throne of God. You cannot be trusted to have all the authority that He wants to give until and unless you have been proven and tested. Amen? That you will not break rank. You will not go the other way. Hallelujah. So we are given these opportunities almost daily to make decisions. And sometimes there are major points that we come to that we're going to have to decide. Now, brethren, we are coming into a time on this earth of warfare such as I don't believe this earth has ever known. Okay? You heard the word that Brother Campbell brought on the prophetic word, the warning of the things that are very close, very near. The things are heating up in the earth. The things of government, they are heating up. And I don't know. I was not of any understanding at the time of World War One or World War Two. I mean, I wasn't even around in World War One. Let's correct that. World War Two. I was not of an age where I had any kind of understanding. I'm sure the people in those days thought too that things are heating up in the world, that great conflicts are coming, and they surely did. Perhaps we are amiss to believe that this is the final battle, but there's much agreement spiritually that this is the final battle that we are coming into now. It's different. It's never been quite like this before. It's a different conflict. Amen. Now, let me just add to some things that I wanted to add. We were talking about the book of Daniel, and my attention was taken to the 10th chapter of the book of Daniel. Okay, if you want to turn to Daniel chapter 10. Now, in the context of what is going on here, Daniel is in prayer. He is seeking the Lord for what is happening in his time and his generation, for the government and Jerusalem, the people of God. He's seeking the Lord. It says in verse 2, and he says, "In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks." Mm-hmm. So Daniel had set himself aside, and he had been spending 3 weeks. Now, 3 weeks is how long? 21 days, is it not? Okay. And he says, "I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled." So this is not a complete and total fast, but Daniel had denied himself the pleasant things of life. He was not eating fried chicken, okay? He was not eating sweet bread. He was not eating cookies and cake and chocolate and this type of thing. Or he wasn't taking ice cream. Whatever it was that was sweet to them. I don't think they had ice cream in those days. But he was only eating the plain food, plain bread. For all I know, he might have been eating unleavened bread for 3 whole weeks. In other words, he was saying, "I need to deny my flesh something here because I want to get God's attention." Amen? And so he is praying. And now the angel comes and appears to him and begins to reveal things to him. But here's what the angel said to him. All right. And by the way, this is Gabriel, I believe. He's describing him. He showed up in verse 5. Clothed in linen, loins girded with fine gold. In other words, he had a belt of pure gold, this angel. Amen? His body was like beryl. Rita, what did we decide that beryl was?
Male.
But it's what color of a stone?
Different colors.
Aquamarine, if you look up the word aquamarine, you'll find that beryl is one of the synonyms of aquamarine. Okay? It's what?
It comes from the mineral beryl.
Yeah, it comes from the mineral beryl, but the stone, there is a stone that comes from that also, which is a beautiful, beautiful aqua, kind of a blue-green stone. Okay?
Flawless.
Yes, a flawless stone. And this is what this angel looked like. Amen? Eyes like fire.
Yeah.
Can you imagine looking into somebody's eyes and seeing fire? You'd think you'd seen God.
Yeah.
But this was not God. Yes, he was from God, Amen. But he was an angel. Amen. Feet and arms like polished brass. Amen. And voice like the voice of a multitude. In other words, he had a voice of thunder. This is an awesome sight. Now, 21 days, Daniel had been praying and, shall we say, a limited fast he was going through. Okay? And now, Daniel fell on his face when he saw this angel. I'm talking about warfare here, okay? And the angel brought him back to his feet. And here in verse 7 now, he says to me, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." Amen. To chasten yourself. I think it means to humble yourself. All right? Now, the angel says, the first day you started, I came to answer your prayer. Uh-huh. I think this is confirmation to some of the things that Madeline shared here. Verse, what did I say?
Seven.
Oh, did I say seven?
I'm not.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at a 12 and I'm saying a 7.
Yeah.
No, it is 12.
Yes.
All right. From the first day. All right. But he says here, all right, I am come for thy words. Do you understand?
Amen.
The power of our words.
Amen.
With God. God hears our words. Be careful the words that you speak. There is power in these words. There's spiritual power in them. James, I think we read James the last time. How is it that with our words that we both curse and bless?
Yeah, we do.
This cannot be. Amen? We cannot be cursing, because those are also words that give the devil power.
Yeah.
And the devil goes with those words and he carries them out in curses.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. All right. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now we're talking about the warfare here that we are fighting against. The prince, which is the prince of Palati. Persia is the Palati. The prince of the Palati, or is the principality. A region is called a Palati. Okay. You've heard the term municipality. It's probably the only English word that we have that uses that part of the word palati. But you can understand, a municipality is a region of government that is under a certain form of rulership. Okay? So the prince, the evil prince, the devil's fallen angel who is in charge of Persia, he met him there, he says, and he withstood me 1 and 20 days. 21 days. The first day that Daniel prayed, God sends Gabriel out. Wow.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that something?
So was Michael.
No, this is Gabriel that was sent out first. All right. Gabriel had a problem for 21 days with this evil prince, a Palati. Now, listen, these principalities, they're not just minor little things under your feet yet. They're going to be there, but they're not there yet. Amen. Gabriel had trouble. Gabriel couldn't get through. Because this prince of Persia... Well, by the way, what is the modern name of Persia today?
Iran.
Hello?
Yeah, by the way...
You wonder why we're having trouble with Iran today.
Yeah.
Because the word for Aryan is Iran.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Yes.
So, exactly. Iran... Aryan is especially against God's people.
Yeah.
All right, has been. Historically, it has been. All right? Now, but lo, Michael. 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 I don't know how to say it.
Michelle.
Okay. Michelle. And the name Michael, I'm going to say the English version. Michael means like God. Like God. One, the mighty archangel. Now, these are two archangels.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Gabriel and Michael, archangels, and Satan, who was once called Heliel, also an archangel. Now, whether this prince of Persia, whether it was Satan himself, it might have been. Because Satan might have been taken. See, Persia was one of the key nations at that time. A very, very key nation at that time. Okay? Withstood me, amen, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Amen. Chief princes. Gabriel called Michael a chief prince. Isn't that nice that a king has some chief princes? Hallelujah. Okay. He says, and now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Now we come to the end of his message. I'm not going to expound on the whole message. We come to the end of the message, and we come to verse 20. He says, then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee, and now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. He says, Michael is there holding him back. He's a mad dog. Michael has got a leash on him. I mean, he's still growling and snarling. But now I'm going to go back, and I'm going to relieve Michael. I'm going to hold this mad dog back before I get back to heaven. Isn't that what I'm reading here? He says, I will return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia will come. In other words, the principality that is over Greece is going to come too. I know.
What happened was Alexander the Great took over Persia.
He says, but I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is nothing that holdeth with me. Now that word holding with me is upholds me against. That holdeth with me in these things, but Michael, your prince. So Michael is holding this thing back. I'm going to go. I'm going to kind of relieve Michael, and we're going to be released in order to go back. But we know the principality of Greece is going to be joining them as well. Okay, now I'm talking about warfare. I said all this to show you that we are in a time of warfare. Okay, now let me go to Daniel the seventh chapter. Maybe I was thinking seven, because I know I want to go to Daniel the seventh chapter. And again, Daniel has another vision, all right? And let me go, he saw the vision here of the four beasts, okay? And again, I'm not going to be teaching on who these four beasts are. For the most part, it's a historical fact of what these four kingdoms were. But we come to the point where the final beast, which is the days in which we are living now, which is different than all the other kingdoms. There's a world dominion, a world kingdom coming together now, such as has never been put together ever in the history of mankind. The other world kingdoms and dominions were all put together by military power. This thing is being put together completely different. It's being put together by deception.
Yes, indeed.
Complete deception is going into the way this thing's being put together. People are buying it. In other words, people are voting for it. They're voting for the people that are putting it in. Total deception. There's no military, there's no tanks and bombs and everything else that is subduing the nations that are putting this world thing together. It is being put together with their economies, their money, banking system. Do you know that we have a world banking system?
Yep.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, we do. When we were in the Philippines, we went to the bank to straighten out the account and get it all set up properly. And, you know, Brother Wayne was sending some money in a certain manner because he thought that was the way he had to do it. And the banker says, no, listen, you can send the money... how did he say? I forget the words he said. Oh, he says, I'll give you the SWIFT codes. He gave us the name of 5 different mega banks in America. He says, you can just send it to them and we'll get it. Just put our code in there. It comes right to us. You don't have to go through all these Western Union or anything like that to get it to us. And he says, oh, and by the way, you can have internet banking, and you can go on your computer, and you can look up the account over here.
Yeah. Transfers and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you can look it all up.
Yeah.
World, we have a world system now that's all put together. The final, you know, when I was several years ago, the young men in Prague were working as computer, I'll call them computer geeks. Don't be offended, brother, if you're hearing this. Geek is a good word. It means you're really smart.
Right.
Okay, it means you know all about computers.
Yeah.
And I would talk to Martin and Roman. Where are you guys going? Oh, we're flying over to Germany. We go over every week or something. And we go here, we go to Germany, we go here, we go there. I said, what are you guys doing? He says, oh, we're putting banking things together. We're working for these big banks. And we're coordinating the system by computers. This was 10 years ago they were doing this. And now it's gone into quote-unquote third world countries. They're being brought into it too. I'm just telling you, brethren, there is a kingdom now different from any of the other world dominion kingdoms. All right, Daniel chapter 7. I want to look at a few verses here. And verse 15, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me to know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are 4, and 4 kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But, now here's the thing. We're talking about warfare. But, verse 18. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever.
Hallelujah.
Even forever and ever.
Hallelujah.
Now, when you use the word ever, 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 ever.
No,
it's repeated 3 times.
Yep.
It means it's permanent.
Amen.
It's not going to end.
Amen.
Amen? And who's going to take the kingdom?
Yeah.
The saints of the Most High.
Amen.
Are we going to take it on our own strength?
Mm-hmm.
No. We are going to take it because the King of Kings, amen,
amen,
is going to lead the charge.
Yes, amen.
Amen. I think it's been a long time since I told this vision that I had. I think it was given to me in about 1989, possibly 1990. That's been a long time ago, hasn't it? That's been about 22 years ago. I remember being in the Spirit, and I saw the army of the Lord. I saw the army of the Lord.
Amen.
Okay? I don't know from what view I had, but I saw a line of soldiers stretching this way and this way, right and left, as far as I could see.
Amen.
As far as my eye could see, there was a line. Not only was there a line, but there was another line behind them, and another behind them, and another behind them. And I don't know how far it went back, but I was aware of at least four rows. And these men were standing at perfect attention. I mean, they were in the front rows. They were alert. They were perfectly still, perfectly disciplined. Nobody was talking. Nobody was poking the other one. Nobody was having any business to do, except they were focused straight ahead. And I wondered, as I'm looking, I wondered, well, where is the captain? Where is the general that is leading this army? And I looked out in the front. Somehow I was able to see here, back, you know. And I looked in the front and I thought, well, surely I'll see a great master standing in the front. I wonder if he'll be facing the troops and giving them a pep talk. Or maybe he'll have his back to the troops and his hand will be up like a big general and he'll be ready to say, "Forward, march!" You know, and he'll... No, he wasn't there. Will he be on a white horse? No, I didn't see any white horse. Now, I'm not saying Revelation has a white horse, but I didn't see it. I thought, well, where is the head? And lo and behold, above the troops, I saw a head.
Uh-huh.
And his shoulders went out, and underneath his shoulders were where the troops were.
Amen.
And I looked right in the center of this line, and there was the head. I looked way down this way, and there was the head. I looked way down this way, and there was the head. In other words, he was everywhere. But he was the head, and the troops were the body. And then in the vision, I saw the back rows. I saw maybe four or five rows that I knew were in the very back of this army. And they were not as quiet and disciplined as the ones in the front. They were not in order. They were trying to get in order. They wanted to be in order, but they were new at it. They hadn't. I saw them. They would come in from behind, from way back. They would come in. They would get into a row somewhere, and they would. No, here. Oh wait, maybe here. And they were moving around, and is this the place to be? You know, and they were kind of talking a little bit, and okay. Yeah, okay. And there were some that were coming. Actually, I saw one come in, and he did like this. He got in here, he got in a place, I think he got in his place. He looked around, he observed what was there, and you know what he did? He turned and he walked away. He said, "No, no. This is not where I want to be."
Uh-huh.
But then I saw some that were running from afar. They knew what they wanted. And I saw some of them that had their hand out like this, and they were calling, "Wait, wait, wait. Don't go anywhere until I can get in."
Uh-huh.
And they wanted to get in their place. And the last thing I saw, again, I saw the head. And I said to the Lord, "Lord, When is this army ready to move?" And I heard him say, as if he were a schoolmaster speaking to his children, he said, "Children, when we are all in our place,
all in unity,
I will give the command,
right,
and we will go forward."
Amen.
Wow.
Yep.
And nothing will stop us.
Amen.
When we are in our place, in our order. Now, I don't say that every week, so I hope you're not bored, but I did definitely see it. I'm talking about warfare. I wanted to know, verse 19, that I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamp the residue with his feet. Now, we're not talking about a natural beast, brethren. This is not anything that you would ever photograph with a camera. This is a system, a spiritual system. It is designed that there will be no individuality of humanity. Nobody will be their own thing. It is designed to force every human being into a mold. You will think like we want you to think. You will act like we want you to act. You will live a lifestyle that we ordain for you to live. Amen. You will think politically like we want you to think. All right? And this is the thing of stamping everything down, getting everything to conform to what it wants. Okay? And of the 10 horns that were on its head, okay, this thing had 7 heads, which means that there were 7 key nations involved. Did you know that the presidents of the U.S. from time to time go over to Europe to meet with something called the G7? Did you know that?
Summit.
G7, which means that they are the 7 nations that hold the big purse strings. All right? But it says that there are 10 horns. And again, I don't want to get into horns and heads and all that. 10 horns means there are 10 key men. Now, you know, for many years people speculated, this is the European Union. And the European Union began to grow, you know, and one day it came to where there were 10. That's it. Everybody was sure. Well, you know what? There's 17 of them now. It's kind of hard to do the math now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to speculate. God knows. He says there's going to be 7 heads and 10 horns. We'll find out who they are. All right, let's not be naming names. All right. And the 10 horns that were on his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell. So there's a little horn that came up. Okay. Oh, and by the way, people speculate about this little horn. I remember reading these books but articles or something. Yasser Arafat was the little horn. He was the perfect eye. He fit here, 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 and here. And, you know, I'm sure there's much more. There are many more men they put their name in for the little horn. These men came, they died, they went.
Yeah.
They were not all little horn. Okay? And the 10 horns which were on his head, and the other, this is the little horn, which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. In other words, he was pretty evil. Okay? I beheld, now here's what we're talking about warfare. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. So that means that if we use the term church as a substitute for the word saints, all right, this thing is going to prevail against the church. Church systems are not going to stand. You know, I was talking to a man the other day, and he had told me some years ago that he believes and I believe it too, that the economy is going to be such that many of the churches, maybe all of the churches, eventually the economy is going to hit them so hard that these pastors are either going to decide that they're going to be fully paid or the building is going to be paid for, but not both. And they are coming. He said, I have many men that are calling me and telling me that I cannot be salaried anymore and still have a building. There just isn't enough money. okay? Prevailing against the church. Many churches are going to be destroyed. Many are going to come to nothing. Okay? Until it prevailed against them. Now, if I left the sentence there, you'd say we have no hope. But the word is, the next verse is, until.
Amen.
Prevailed until the Ancient of Days came.
Praise.
Hallelujah. What's his name? The Ancient of Days.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. That's Jesus. Until, see, we're talking about the second coming, are we not? We are talking about the coming of Jesus Christ. We are talking about, amen, the manifestation of who He is. First of all, He comes to His temple. Amen. He comes to His own. He's going to dwell in the midst of a people. Hallelujah. He's going to empower a people. There's going to be, amen, a man-child people. There's going to be a first-fruits people. Amen. There's going to be a wise virgin people. Hallelujah. A bride people. There's going to be 144,000 people. There's going to be a two witness people. There's going to be a Gideon 300 people. Amen. Is there any other way I can say it? God is saying it many ways. He's saying it many ways. Man tries to say, oh, well, I'll be the Gideon 300 and maybe you'll be the 144,000. Come on. God is just saying it different ways.
Right.
Come on. All right. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom.
Amen.
Now that's the overall picture. Now, this is very interesting. This word judgment, okay? Because you're going to find this same word back in verse 10. Okay? Now let me go back in verse 10 because I want to show you the meaning of this word judgment. Okay? Verse 10, chapter 7 of Daniel. A fiery stream issued and came forth before him. All right, we're talking about the Ancient of Days now. Oh, let me go back to verse 9 so we get the whole picture. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Thrones are being cast down. Seats, mighty men of government, their thrones are being cast down. Hallelujah. And the Ancient of Days did sit.
Amen.
Amen. Whose garment was white as snow.
Yes.
And the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame and his wheels as burning fire. I don't know what he means by wheels. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Have you ever seen a fiery stream? Wow. I mean, he opens his mouth and a fiery stream comes. Amen? Thousands and thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. All right? Do you know that the ancient Hebrew, as far as I understand, did not have a word for million?
Yeah.
And so they would say 10,000 times 10,000.
Yeah.
Thousands.
Yeah.
And it means millions.
Yeah.
Can you see how big this army is?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a big army. I mean, this is more than 300.
Cool.
Yes, it's a big group. You know, God had to tell Elijah, I've got 7,000 that have not bowed to Baal.
Mm-hmm.
That was a pretty good number in his day. I'd be glad to know there were 7,000 in Schenectady that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. I'd love to know that. I'd love to meet them all. Lord, where are they?
Mm-hmm.
I said to Seth one time, Brother Seth, There's more than 300 of us. Where are the others? When are we going to see them? So, oh, brother, I don't know. Maybe when we come to the time of our execution, maybe then we'll see them all. Well, I don't know. Amen. Okay, so now the 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set and the books were opened.
Right.
Now this is the same word. The judgment was set. That means that the court was set in session.
Amen.
The court,
yeah.
You know, you can go into a courtroom and it's empty.
Right.
You go there when it's not in session, it's just a room.
Right.
Just a room. I mean, there's seats, there's benches, there's a big bench across the front where the judge sits. There's nobody there. Nothing special, no special respect you have to give. It's just an empty room. But when the judge comes in and the lawyers are there and the witnesses are there and the spectators and the jury is there and the court is set. That's what that word means, and judgment was set. All right, now let's go back here to the verse on the other page where it says, oh, I went too far ahead, didn't I? All right. It says, until the Ancient of Days came and the court was set.
Uh-huh. Verse 22.
Yes. Verse 22. And the court was set. The court was open and the judge was in his seat. Amen. And the court, the setting of the court was given to the saints of the Most High.
Yeah.
You see, first it says that the Ancient of Days came and took the throne. But now it says that a rendition of this judgment, the same word, is now given to the saints of the Most High. Now, I hope I'm not stretching it. It's the same word. It's the same word. Now, go down here in verse... Let's go down and we'll find that verse again, okay? And the 10 horns out of the kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse or different from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. Now those great words are not really great. They are pompous words.
Yes,
arrogant, pompous words, blasphemous words against God.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed the trend of how wickedness is rising up in our land, that the words of God and Jesus are no longer allowed to be spoken in public? They have a graduation. They tell the students that are winning the awards, you can get up and say something, but don't you dare mention the word of God.
I wish I was in school.
Oh, I would violate their rule. I'll tell you what. Throw me out if you want. Take my diploma away. I don't care what you do. I'm going to say what's on my mind.
It's happening right now in this area. It's a national story. It's on the national news about what's going on in Shenandoah. I don't know if you heard of it. But the music teacher has been told by atheist group that they can't no longer have anything to do with this, any music that says God or, you know, heaven, and anything to do with the Lord, like in Christmas. Mm-hmm. And he wants to continue playing those, and there's a big lawsuit that's going to be going on, and it's on the national news right here in Shenandoah.
So we see the things that are spoken of in Daniel are happening in our time. This is the great pompous, arrogant, blasphemous words against the Most High. Hold on. All right, so he's going to speak blasphemous things against the Most High. Okay. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Now, this is where the warfare is coming against us.
Mm-hmm.
wearing out the saints of the Most High. Do you sense the enemy trying to wear you down?
Oh yeah.
Just wear you out.
Yeah.
You know, you're troubled. You're troubled. You can't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Trouble. What is it that when you can't sleep? What happens? You're worn out. And then you get phone calls. Trouble. Phone calls from relatives. Phone call from family. What is it all about? Trouble. Fighting, discord. You know? What does it do to you? It wears you out. And I don't know. We're supposed to have things so much better now that we've got all these computerized things. Have you noticed that nothing works?
Yeah.
Have you tried to get something processed in your health care with a company that... why do they always make a mistake that is not in your favor? And so, what do you have to do? Oh, they made a payment. Oh, they didn't pay enough. Oh, they're looking at the wrong line. So, what do you have to do to fix it? You have to get on the telephone. Yes, for hours. Thank you. For hours.
Yeah.
And when you first get on, they give you, you hear the voice of a robot. Okay? If you want to talk about thus and thus, press 1. If you want to talk about ABC, press 2. If you want to talk about the last time you talked to us, press 3. And, finally you get a human being. Okay, well, give us your account number. Give us your birthday. Give us your address. Give us your phone number. Give us your social security number. Tell us the name of your first pet. Tell us your mother's great-grandmother's maiden name.
Yeah.
Okay, we think it might be you now. How can we help you? Oh, I'm so sorry. You have to wait till next week when that person is in their office. Please call back again. Come on. What does this do? It wears you out. It prevents you from doing the work of the kingdom of God because you're spending all your time tracking down things that are not going right.
Right.
I that's just a sample. It happens all the time. I don't know how people that work ever get any work done. I don't know how they can accomplish anything for their employers when they have to do this all the time.
They look busy.
And you know what? I think the doctor's offices are... Have you noticed? You know, when my mother took me to the doctor when I was a child, there was one doctor in the office.
Right.
He was the only employee. The rest of us waited in a waiting room. He'd open the door. He'd say, next. And the next one would go in. Occasionally he'd stick his head out the door and he'd say, I'm sorry, I got to go up to the hospital, there's an emergency. He'd be gone for an hour. You'd just sit there and you'd wait. He'd come back, he'd open the door again to his office. Next. We went in. Okay, here's the medicine. That'll be $3. Yeah, my mom used to pay $3. If she didn't have $3, he'd get this little book out and he'd write, Susan owes $3. Now, the doctor has an office staff of 10.
Yes.
10. What are those 10 people doing? They're all trying to figure out little codes that they can write on their little form that they can send to the federal government so that they'll get $300 back for your visit. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Wearing out. Taking the productivity away from human beings.
Yeah.
Wearing out the saints of the Most High.
Amen.
Amen. And it says, what verse am I on here? Oh, verse 25. Wearing out the saints of the Most High. Notice, saints of the Most High.
Amen.
It's us that he's after. He's after us more than he's after the people of the world.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Do you think that guy that's drunk laying in the alley there, do you think he's worried and feels worn out? Nah, he's just drinking himself into oblivion.
Yeah, right.
He don't care. Well, Satan's already got him.
Yeah.
He cannot destroy the blood of Jesus Christ in us, but he can wear us down.
Yeah.
And that is why we need to be coming against his schemes, his plots, and his plans.
Amen.
We need to nullify them by the word of our mouth.
Amen.
We need to curse them.
Yes, amen.
We need to say, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan."
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes, we have weapons of our warfare, but they are not carnal.
Amen.
But they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And he will think to change times and laws.
Is that deception at work?
What kind of laws do you think he might want to change? Oh, well, let's make a law that a man can marry a man. You know, the polygamists now, they're wanting their law too now.
Yeah.
A man can marry two or three wives.
Yeah, or more.
Oh, you've changed the laws. You've destroyed marriage. Now let's have it our way. What's next?
Yeah.
Man's going to marry his horse?
No, they do. They're off.
Come on. I mean, what else? what else could there be? I mean, you think, come on, you laugh at this and you think it's perversion. You know what? I thought it was perversion when I thought that they were going to allow this. I said, what are they going to do next? Let men marry men, women marry women? I said that 20 years ago. I thought it was preposterous. But it's not preposterous. These perversions have organizations that they belong to, and they campaign to have favor given to them.
Absolutely.
This is this beast. This is this little horn I'm talking about.
For voting.
Yes.
It's voting.
This is what's happening.
Yep.
I mean, change laws. Do you know the law they have in the state of Oregon?
Yes.
That you cannot collect rainwater. Did you know that? A man collected rainwater off of his roof, and he stored it and kept it, and the state of Oregon went after the man, put him in jail, and fined him $1,500, 30 days in jail. What? Because the law in the state of Oregon says that the rain that falls from the sky belongs to the state.
Oh.
It does not belong to the man.
That's so funny.
Come on, we're talking about changing the times and laws.
I've never heard of such crazy.
Changing times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. 1 + 2 + 1/2 = 3.5.
Right.
3.5 years.
Right.
It's not 7 years.
Right.
It's 3.5 years. It's tribulation.
Yes.
They shall be given into his hand for the period of tribulation. Let's get back to the warfare. And I came to this. But the judgment shall sit. That's that word again. But the court will be in session again. And the judge will be on the throne. And the saints of the Most High are going to be the jury.
Yes, amen.
Amen. And their decision will be rendered. Hallelujah. Judgment shall sit. And they shall take away his dominion. They,
the saints of the
us,
Amen.
Shall take away his dominion.
Yes.
Amen. To consume and destroy it.
Amen.
Unto the end.
Yes. Amen.
I want that empire consumed by fire and destroyed.
Yes.
And brought to an end.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Now, the good news here in verse 27. I'm going to quit soon. Only got to the first line on my thing here. Amen. And the kingdom and dominion. What's the difference between kingdom and dominion? The kingdom is made up of all the land and all the people. But the dominion is the power that rules it.
Amen.
And sets the rules. Amen? And the greatness of the kingdom. We were praising God. Why? Because of His greatness.
Amen.
Was that not the first song?
Yes.
The greatness of our God.
Yes.
We were praising Him. And the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven. Mm-hmm. That's pretty big, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't leave anything out. Shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Come on, brethren. We have got something that God intends to give us. This is, brethren, this is what Daniel received from Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
No, it isn't the same as the 12th chapter, but it's the same angel. It's the same power. It's the same word of God. And it applies to our time.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming to its fullness. Shall be given to the saints of the Most High. The greatness, the dominion. Amen. Can we be trusted with it?
Well, when we get His word, we'll be able to.
Can we handle all that?
We all have that waiting for us.
In Christ, we can. In flesh. In Mark, no.
Right. In the Spirit, yes. Amen.
In Glenn, flesh, no.
In all of us.
But in Christ.
Amen.
You see, what God is trying to do, He's trying to get us into the Holy of Holies.
Yes, He is. He's trying.
We're going to have to get out of the holy place, and we're going to have to go through the veil.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to stay in the outer court, you're not going to be ruling and reigning over anything.
Right.
You might get in. But He's talking about a reward for those who will be the saints of the Most High. Hallelujah. Whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey Him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me. What are these cogitations? My thoughts troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Hallelujah. I want to just go to Revelation for just one more verse, if I may. Because it reads almost the same as what we're seeing here. Revelation 13, verse 7. 13, 7. Yes. 1:3. Now this is the picture of the beast coming up out of the sea. Okay? And again, I don't have time to describe him all here. It says, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given to him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear.
Mm-hmm.
So, you see, he will make war and he will have dominion over all men on the earth, but there's an exception. What is the exception? Those who have their name
in the book of life.
In the book of life.
Amen.
Amen. So God is making a way of escape. God is making a way of protection.
Mm-hmm.
God cannot protect a body who will not come under His shadow of protection.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm saying that there's war. We're living in a time of war. Michael is now, even now, Michael is warring with these fallen angels in heavenly places, spiritual places. And they are being pressed down. Down,
yeah.
Down. They are coming lower and lower into the carnal realm. They're coming against us. They're coming against our health. They're coming against our children. They're coming against our family. They're coming against our mind, our thoughts. Everything is being pressed. Why? Because he's coming down.
Right. Amen.
We need to get into Christ, brethren. We need to know the things that we have in Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that we can overcome these things.
Amen.
Amen. The word that Larry brought last week, good word. You need to be in that place. You need to know what God has done for us. You need to know your place in God. Because the devil will try to dissuade you from that and convince you otherwise.
Amen.
God bless you.